This episode of WTF Landier Radio Show is not brought to you by the World Economic Forum, WEF, but the members of the World Economic Forum are gathering to bring about the abilities to create a phenomenal world. What is the phenomenal world that we are looking into? Well, join the conference in Davos, Switzerland. Maybe you can get on the guest list of the World Economic Forum, WTF and WEF, not in collaboration, but possibly in the future. This episode of WTF Landia Radio Show is brought to you by WTF. If you have the same burning questions as we do, then you'll find it here. Well, that's our hope anyway. The views expressed at WTF Landia are not to direct, guide, or sway public opinion, for entertainment purposes only. Welcome to your WTF Landia radio show. Welcome to the show. It's all happening now, folks. It is all happening now. Like, not now, but right now. I am so thrilled to have you here with us today. It's quite the day to bring forth some, you know, new news on the day. Why not? This is what we do here at WTF Landia Radio Show. Now, I have to say that the news done here is done in a way to get us to say the title. Okay, the namesake. You know, it's like the movie. When you watch a movie, where does the title come in? Who's the actor that gets to say the title? Well, I'm the title. It's WTF, and I get to say it all the time. Because what the? Oh my goodness. Okay. First of all, I have to say this. Just so we bring in the state of my life. I was super excited to record, you know, an off-topic, out-of-pocket topic. Not really, but it's along the lines of WTF. It's what we do here. So it can make you think and make you go, what world are we living in? It's just that. It doesn't mean, it's not intending to, like, you know, sway your opinion or hurt you or make you scared. We know that. We don't do that here. We make you think and we make you feel cozy because it's tense times, right? But I went on to record what would have been a four-part podcast show with a friend of mine by the name of Nameless One. Truly, that's the name of the person who is the guest host on this episode. Anyways, we'll never hear it because I don't know if the app that I recorded him from was encrypted end to end. But I just will share this with you now. If you're talking to someone on encrypted end-to-end apps and you are trying to record, heads up, doesn't work. Oh my gosh. It would have been better off if I had recorded from an outside source on the encrypted end-to-end app. It would have been a hot mess anyways. It wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be. It was a lot of spiritual conversation happening, which I think needed to be heard. However, we know how the devil likes to attack all that good news that we try to bring, you know. Whatever. It just wasn't supposed to happen. Now I know how to construct this conversation a little better. Maybe we can take it from 4 hours to two and make it a two-part segment. But it was that intense that you would want it to hear. You would be looking forward to the four-part episode. I know Kanye West has a four, well, he's got Genius or something on Netflix, and it's several parts episodes. It was kind of like that, because this person, nameless one that I'm talking to, is kind of like, well, maybe that. Anyways, that's how my week started. However, I did have a wonderful family day with my youngins, my chillins. We chilled, we hung back, stayed out of the way, and also in these beautiful warm streets. It was really nice out, so we did some fun activities and ate some yummy snacks, which is what we like to do together. We like to cook and eat together. So we did that, and so that was really great. Happy Family Day to Canadians who celebrate. On that day, though, this is very weird. Look, it's getting weird. That's what I said when I came in here. It is so strange, honey. Let me tell you how strange it is. One, Canada just pulled itself out of a semi-revolutionary war with a couple hundred folks. Not a big deal. Didn't seem like it anyway, but now it's a big deal, kind of, because of what came about after it. So on February the 14th, the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says, I've had enough of these people occupying Ottawa, which is where the parliament is, which is where the government meets up to make their decisions and have their meetings on a day to day. It's kind of like in if you're American, it's kind of like over there in the Capitol, where they had their weird little field trip on January 6th and tried to go in and take over. Now, that would have maybe called for what Justin Trudeau pulled out, but that didn't even happen. We had a field trip, a mini insurrection field trip happen over in Washington at the Capitol building. And they didn't pull an Emergencies Act out. But what is the Emergency Act? How did it come about? That's what we're going to talk about in this episode. And we're going to see why this could be harmful to the relationships that people have with Canada, the trust that Canadians have with their government and the banking systems, and so much more in this episode. We have to talk about it because it's, well, it's fresh, it's off the press, and it's new, and it's interesting enough for me to keep poke my eyes at the paper. And if I decide to watch it, hear it, and then read it, then I'm gonna probably, if it's got my spidey senses up, I'm gonna report on it. And so it's all happening now. That song that you heard coming into this podcast episode by Alex Isley, she makes it easier to deal with whatever is going on in life, her voice. So I think I'll use that as a segment opener maybe for my shows. Alex, you want to go into collaboration with WTF Landia Radio Show and your girl, Shy Michelle? Love to have it. I like to keep it easy, and her voice is breezy like that, so. It's all happening now, 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 now. It's happening, folks. It's happening now. And I want to talk about what the Emergencies Act is, what it entails, what it means. And I want to talk about it from the POV of a person who witnessed the creation of the Emergencies Act and his opinion of why he thinks it shouldn't have been evoked. Invoke. So many words. If you're a wordplay gal like myself or guy like myself, I'm a gal, but, you know, if you're a wordplay gal or guy or whatever, then invoked is compliance, it's mandates. It's a lot of those words are very alarming, and they mean things. Okay, so David Schneiderman, this guy is a professor of law at the University of Toronto in Toronto, Canada, TDOT, if better known as BKA, Drake. He was a research director of the Canadian Civil Liberties Association from 1986 to 89. Okay, go with me, folks. And he says, this is his POV, okay? David Schneiderman. He says, I was present during the negotiations around the Federal Emergencies Act in 1987 as one of two full-time lawyers at the Canadian Civil Liberties Association at the time. I witnessed firsthand how Alan Borovoy, the CCLA's then general counsel, managed to shape the contours of this scheme. And I saw how the end product was a carefully calibrated piece of legislations with checks at every turn. Now, this is just the beginning description of David Schneiderman, who was present at the negotiations around the Federal Emergencies Act in 1987. This act was invoked by Prime Minister Justin Pierre Trudeau. I spell his name Trudeau so bad. I spell it Treau, like Trudeau, but it's just Trudau. So sorry if you guys have read my other podcast and was like, this girl can't spell. That is also a thing. I love words. My grammatical errors are very present in things that I write. Don't judge me. I'm still very astute, way more astute than you. Because you don't do what I do. Can't be perfect. Just kidding. Can't be perfect, guys. I can't be perfect. I'm not trying to be. But so, anyway, back on track, Char. This act was invoked on none other than Valentine's Day, the day where love is in the air and chocolate is bought at elaborate prices. It's just too much, and it's a capitalistic dream or nightmare for some. And it's the day designated to love. And that day, I don't know why it couldn't have been on the 13th or it couldn't have been on the 15th, but on Valentine's Day, we decided to go ahead and tell the truckers to get lost. We don't love their energy over in Ottawa by the Capitol, by Capitol Hill. In the parliament, and they need to pack it up, take their diesel fuel, and go home, according to the Trudeau administration. And that's exactly what happened, was that act was pulled. But let's talk about what it is. It's why I believe the Emergencies Act was not a legally suitable instrument for removing unwelcome occupiers on Ottawa Street. This according to Andrew or David Schneiderman. The objective of Brian Mulroney's government in 1987 was to bring Quebec back into Canada's constitutional fold by drawing sharp contrast with that of its predecessor as Prime Minister, Pierre Trudeau. That is Justin Pierre Trudeau's father, BTW, if you guys are just figuring that out. The Prime Minister, the current Prime Minister now, which is would it be akin to the President of Canada, his father was then the President back then. Okay? So now you're caught up. There would be two limbs of this strategy. First, having first ministers agree to new constitutional settlement, represented by the Meech Lake Accord, a colossal failure, it turns out. The second prong was the repeal of Discredited War Measures Act and replacing it with an instrument better tuned to addressing emergencies such as the October Crisis of 1970. This turns out to have been the least and less troublesome prong. Now, if we go from War Measures Act to Emergencies Act, just the wording alone brings us a little more peace. It's like, okay, this isn't you just to pull lever in case of emergency kind of thing, break box in case of emergency type thing, as opposed to War Measures Act. This is crazy wartime. Here. Let's make an act. Let's act on wartime crises, right? So the wording makes people go, "Oh, that's better." But as he mentioned, carefully crafted with checks at every corner. Let's stick to it. It was in furtherance of replacing the War Measures Act that then Defense Minister Perrin Betty reached out to the CCLA to seek its input into draft replacement legislation. Now, the CCLA is a principal, their principal aim was to curb what Mr. Borovoy called the power hoarding fallacy. Understanding that historically Canadian governments have preferred to seize far more power than is reasonably needed in a crisis. This main thing was to avoid the blank check afforded to governments under the War Measures Act. So in negotiations for a replacement act, the CCLA worked to restrict the government's ability to maneuver in emergency situations to only what was absolutely necessary, and create safeguards to prevent the abuse of those fenced in powers. Go with me here. In order to achieve its desired reapproachment with the Quebec electorate, the government gave a lot of ground to the CCLA submissions. It helps explain why the legislation identifies four different types of emergency, each carefully defined, all of which remain subject to the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. In furtherance of Mr. Borovoy's faith in democratic deliberation over judicial discretion, as judges historically are not reliable defenders of civil liberties in times of emergency, the CCLA insisted upon an enhanced parliament role. In addition to mandatory provincial consultation, there would be a continual need to return to parliament, along with mandatory parliamentary review and an inquiry 60 days after the emergency ends. Okay. Now, my question with that is, how often can you pull out the Emergencies Act after I believe they're valid for 60 days. That's, if I'm doing my math correct, 2 months. And then it's under review for the next 60 days. What if you need to pull it out again? Well, while you're president, I would imagine you can, prime minister, you can pull that thing out when you feel like you need it. That's the indefinite part that's scaring lots of Canadians. Okay. Critical to limiting easy access to emergency powers would be the narrow definition of a national emergency, because that national emergency word can be interpreted differently by different people running the country or different governments running their provinces and their cities. Okay. What classifies as a state of emergency or a national emergency on the federal level is concerned is the question that I need answers for personally. I'm just saying. Okay, go along with me. An urgent and critical situation rises to just such a level where the lives, health, or safety of Canadians are seriously endangered. Lives, health, and safety. That's the part that's scaring folks. Lives, health, and safety. Okay, if I'm wearing blue and people are allergic to blue, it might affect your life, health, and safety. Okay, I'm just saying that's really drastic measure, but maybe I've got a bag full of peanut butter dust and I want to go around and blow it around and see who's allergic to it. That might affect your life, health, and safety, right? Seriously. And that is when the Emergencies Act can be pulled. You can be put in jail indefinitely. You can have your bank money seized, and a number of other things. Okay, these are the limiting unlimited overreach that it allows the federal government or the local governments. And this can be used on a local level, okay, not just a federal level, right? Which it has been. This is the first time it's been used federally, this Emergencies Act. Right? So if you're the guy going around blowing peanut butter dust all the way up and down the sidewalks of Vancouver, let's say, and you're just trying to find out who's allergic and who's not, someone, you know, your local MP could say, you know, no, whoever that guy is blowing the dust. Oh, now there's a group of them and they're blowing dust in sky trains and they're blowing the dust all up in the malls and city centers. Let's pull the Emergencies Act and, you know, throw them in the pen for indefinite time, and it frees up their bank accounts, don't allow people to talk to them. If people are tweeting about them, texting about them, then they're part of the problem too, so they can go to jail too. This is an analogy, folks. Okay, this never happened and never will. Don't ever take that advice. It's stupid. Don't, where do you even find peanut butter dust? Like, come on. It's just saying. Now, if you're that person's mama and you've been on the phone, you're like, you sent the peanut butter dust. You didn't have any idea what he was planning on doing, but you knew that he needed peanut butter dust. So you send this guy peanut butter dust. Now you're a part of it and you could go to jail indefinitely too, because by law, legally now, they have the ability to reach into where they feel was a safety risk and who added and was involved in safety risk, aka the people who donated to the truckers convoy on GoFundMe or wherever, then they can freeze seize up your bank account ice cold. And they can come and send the federal government to come talk to you, and they can take you, lock you up, and put you up behind bars. That is an analogy to where we are today. The best way that I can describe it, because I'm just a gal with a brain that's trying to figure it all out, just like you guys. That's the scary part. Now, people who are not involved in the trucker convoy and who don't care or want nothing to do with them, they're tired of smelling the diesel fuel, they're over their silly antics and their horrible, you know, accents, and they're reeking of beer and booze and cowboy hats and things like that. These are just all, like, seriously, like, stereotypes. This is not true. This is not everybody who is out there. I'm just saying stuff that goes, makes you go WTF. Seriously, that's my job. Okay. It's not what I think about the people. I think that the people that were supporting these people probably thought the same thing that anybody thinks that is used to freedoms, is that I don't want mandates to control my life. I get that we need to protect people, but we just figured out that the vaccine doesn't work. So scientific can't even keep up with the mandate. Science can't even keep up. So now we just want to end it all. We want us to go back to being able to choose if we want vaccine jungle juice up in our body, and then we can move forward with life. And I think that was the majority of the people that went along with the people who were spearheading it, which is the truckers. Okay. Now the truckers is a broad, vast group. They're not, some of them are wearing turbans and they're from East. They're everything. There are people, listen, my uncle is a trucker. He has his own, he owns his own trucking company. Okay. He's a black guy from, born in Germany, raised in California. Okay. Now, that's the people who spearheaded this. It's not a bunch of white supremacists, a bunch of misogynistic. There are those. Of course, there's that in there in the group. There's always going to be the a-hole in the group that's going to just draw the attention away from what the real conversation is. But the bottom line is that for the most part, these are people that just vehemently want their freedoms back. And they want them back now because they're tired of it. So they went and they set up shop in the middle of the city, sure, in the parliament, sure, and it created a funk, sure, because it's not comfortable to see a bunch of people that you don't know in your neighborhood with their diesel fuel steaming into your windows at nighttime. It's for sure annoying. But these are the only ways that these people thought they can get the attention of their government, who didn't really want to maybe speak to them about why the mandates still are around. I think that was what I've been reading too. The prime minister wasn't really willing to talk to them after they wrote F. Trudeau on their trucks and turned the Canadian flag upside down. We talked about that. It was like, oh, shoot. That's kind of, you know, like, yeah, I'm mad, kind of despicable mad. I don't know. I think that deserves some apologies personally, but hey, you do what you do good. But I think that may have, I don't know. I'm not saying it's okay that he didn't talk to them after that, because still you owe the people as a leader of a government. If I'm in charge of the country, I'm going to owe you guys what you guys, you know, are asking for. That's my time and my attention to your wants and your needs and your concern on all fronts. People who want the diesel fuel out their air, and the people who are kicking up the dust to get some answers. Both. I ain't talked to everybody. And that's why I'm not running for prime minister or president, unless the Lord says so. And not because I ran, I was chairman of my children's PAC, and that's the Parents Advisory Council. And within weeks, I was like, I am not cut out for this. I felt like Barack Obama. I was like, how did he know? No, thank you. This is too many questions I have to come up with answers for. And all we were doing was volunteering our time to make school better for our children. I was like, no, stop texting me. Don't call me. I don't even like to talk to people. It's that's the thing, right? You got to be ready to just answer your phone and talk and make answers and send emails. I really am a gal that values her special time alone. Now, I'm an outgoing person. I appear to be outgoing when you meet me, and for the most part, that's not a problem. But I do get tired and drained, and I do value when I close my door, it's it. I'm done. I'm not answering texts. I'm not answering phone calls. I'm not answering direct messages unless you're really cute. And there is a guy, but things like that. But so I get it. It's maybe Trudeau was like, no. No, thank you. I'm not answering that. I saw what I saw, and you guys got the outhouses right in front of my office at the Parliament Hill. They put the outhouses by Trudeau's office. It was shady, okay? But that's neither here nor there. It happens, and you got to be ready for that as a public servant. You got to be ready at people are not always gonna like. Look, everybody's not gonna like what you have to say or what every move you make. However, the last resort of the Emergencies Act can be something that, if it's done in a way where the peanut dust guy and all the and their moms and friends for blowing peanut dust just to see goes down, then everybody's going down, and they can put those organizers, the Tara Leaches and David, I don't even know these guys people's name. I'm just learning about them too. I'm watching the news just like you guys are. David King. Stephen King, no. Anyways, the organizers of the Canadian truckers convoys, they're in jail for an indefinite amount of time. One of the truckers organizers has a bail. That's not a bail. There's no bail set because they feel like she's a flight risk and she might continue advocating and giving advice to people of how to keep this movement going. And they can't do it. The organizers need to not have access to the people who want to get organized. So that's what's happening right now. So the overreach extends to powers to do what they deem is necessary and how they deem it necessary because of a crisis like occupying, a city center. Well, so that's what when I got kind of stopped at. An urgent and critical situation rises to such a level where the lives, health, and safety of Canadians are seriously endangered. Now, the smog and the smoke of the diesel fuel, that's not fun. But what did it make you endangered? Were there guns toting around? Was there this and that? There's a lot of checks and balances there. So I'm not sure because I don't work for the Canadian government. I don't work for the law enforcement. And I wasn't involved in the convoy. So I don't know. I'm just a person that's watching, taking it in, and regurgitating it on a podcast. Hopefully, not to get canceled or my bank account seized because of the parroting titles that I create. I spell people's names wrong, like Trodo. I spelled it Treao, like you. Like, come on, Char. Anyways, right? So I'm just looking in and doing that, right? But underscoring the need to use all available legal tools, the statute also requires that the situation cannot be effectively dealt with under any other Canadian law. This means that this Emergency Act needs to be pulled if, in fact, they just cannot find another way to get her done. Like, there's just not enough policemen to go in there and break up the convoy. Or maybe they were anticipating that millions of Canadians were going to come down week after week until the mandates changed. And the meanwhile, over in Great Britain, where my 15% of my blood comes from, over my ancestors over there, they've, anyways, they've kiboshed the whole past passport mandates, everything. They have gone away and done away with all things related to the pandemic. They're done with it. There's no laws regarding it, right? So they done with it there. We amped it up and pulled out the Emergency Act over in good old Canada. Oh my gosh. And on top of that, we are witnessing a war take place over in Russia. Russia was like, look, there's just a couple of countries that I'm saying they're free. I don't care what Ukraine is doing them. They're over there in and around the Ukraine, but I'm going to go ahead and write me a presidential order that says that they're free. And I'm going to send my convoy in there so we can set up shop, because there's hundreds of thousands of my guys that needs places to set up while we go in there and take over the Ukraine. What the? Do we really need more land right now, Russia? Are you guys tired? Have you been sitting on your hands? What is going on? Everybody's sitting on their hands in this pandemic. They're tired of the pandemic. Then they come out of the pandemic. Now people can't even eat in restaurants because they didn't want to fall in line with the vaccine because it doesn't jive with what they believe in. And that's fine, because apparently last I checked, we lived in a free society. And so now the mandates are not sufficient enough to keep everybody happy. So they're protesting. And then people are like, you know what? I'm just bored and I want more land and more power and more oil. I don't know what the fight is over there in Ukraine and Russia. I still don't quite know, but I'm going to have to research it more so I can deliver you the news. But then now we're watching that happen, the war happen. And if China and Russia go into cahoots with each other and they get mad enough at the Western powers, and Canada's kind of ended the war here in their own country. In America, Joe Biden trickled out a couple of sentences on his emergency meeting tonight, and that I could comprehend. And then, you know, all that happens, and then what? Jesus comes. Because I can't deal. I want to go. I want off this island. I want out of crazy town. I don't like it. And that laugh is highly uncomfortable. I'm not laughing. I'm scared. I'm not scared. I'm not scared. I'm just confused as to how and why. And listen, if that war in Ukraine and Russia is about some oil, I'm going to be very mad at those two. Putin and... I don't know your last name. That was rude, but I just can't pronounce it. But I'm going to be mad, Putin. Why are you over there trying to take more land? If it's about oil, we don't even need oil. Oil is a dinosaur thought. It's literally fossil fuel is exactly that. We have no need. We can make buildings, semi-trailer trucks. Speaking of truckers, we can make all that stuff run off water and hemp oil and oil and vegetables and gas and electric. I mean, not gas, but electric, natural gas. We have so many options, but if you're sitting on that beautiful land and there's oil underneath, we still want the power. I don't know. This is what I feel like. I feel like this is ridiculous and it's relentless and we're all involved. We're actors in a game that we don't even want to play, a lot of us. I don't want to play this. I want to just chill out with the Lord at this point. You know what I mean? Like, I don't got time for this. I'm not trying to deal with all this. I'm trying to get me a good job, raise my children in a safe world. And instead, we might see some war on the very soil of our own Western hemisphere. So weird. It's just absolutely bizarre. It's bonkers and it shouldn't be. But hey, what do we know? Let's talk about it. Justin Trudeau's government has not provided compelling evidence that the convoy protests in Ottawa could not have been adequately dealt with under provincial authority, with or without federal help, as occurred at the Ambassador Bridge and the border crossing at Coutts. There was a bunch of truckers over there at the Ambassador's Bridge and the border crossing at Coutts in Alberta, but they broke it up and everybody went about their way with out the Emergencies Act, right? This is prior to the Emergencies Act being pulled. Now, many people are wondering, did Mr. Trudeau do that to see what he could do? Let me do this real quick, see what I can do. That's the scary thing. And the fact that so many parliament members voted with him is scary, because now you know what you could do. I feel like I'm threatened. Now I want to make sure everybody else, I said a couple things, maybe felt gaslighted to somebody, call them racist, call them some misogynistics, got the attention of people that thought, you know, I saw some clippets of these rascals smoking and drinking and wearing their cowboy boots and dusting up Ottawa. I don't like it. I want them out too. And if you didn't look deeper into why, or look at, and a lot of times, and let's be honest, even people in the government, we're not looking at, you know, these laws and these constitutions and refreshing our memory of what it was and why it's supposed to be used and things like that. We need to read more. When you get a position where you have a high power or a position of authority, it still does not alleviate the fact that you should be continually, perpetually learning. Should be learning and learning and learning. But nor was it convincingly shown that the existing provincial or federal laws were not adequate to the task, enabling the coordination of police forces, the seizure of funds, or the removal of occupiers, for example. It may be that the Ontario emergency law did not empower the province to require tow truck drivers to provide assistance, but that surely is a flimsy basis for declaring a national emergency, is what he thinks. In this case of public order emergency, which was approved by the vote in Parliament on February 21st, you guys, there is an added requirement that the emergency must amount to a threat to the security of Canada as defined in the CISIS Act. The statutory definition of a threat to the security of Canada encompasses acts of serious violence against persons or property for the purpose of achieving a political, religious, or ideological objective within Canada. There was 183 to 150 something, I believe, that to vote yay on that, saying that that's what they felt was happening. There was acts of serious violence against persons or properties for the purpose of achieving a political, religious, or ideological objective within Canada. So the people who voted yes felt that that was what was happening. Whoa. 3 weeks in Ottawa where, you know, some diesel fuel was going up into people's beautiful downtown condos. I know, I live in downtown. My condos don't like to smell diesel fuel way up top. But come on. Is that like life or death? For some, maybe, but is it? Like, I'm not sure. It's a tough position for the Prime Minister and his administration to be in, along with those MPs that voted yay and or nay on that. They got questions and people took names, and they, you know, they're going to be like voting. Votes are going to come up soon and they're going to be like, I know who not to and who to vote for. Like, these are the things that, you know, is buzzing around these streets. You know, and you can only gaslight your way out and into and out of so many things before people start to do their own, hopefully do their own research. But also, I think this is one of the things that many people are busy. I just want to say this before I close this out real quick. Many people are so busy that, one, they have work, they've got children, they've got, you know, school, they've got their own lives to go to. So when they, you know, when they come home from all of these things, they just turn the news on, right? That's going to be most of your news that is local and mainstream news, right? On ABC, NBC, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And so you're going to hear the local news reporter reporting on what that is that they're looking at throughout the day. And a lot of, if you go flick from news channel, feels very similar. It's the same topics delivered by different people, right? I'm a journalist. I need a job. Somebody look for me, but I want to do it my way. Can we do it that way? It's compromise for this voice and these looks. I'm just kidding. But seriously, so, you know, you find that the people who are delivering the news are supposed to be professional. They work for a reputable company, and I'm going to put my trust in the people who, the CBC, CBS, CBC, CCTVs, PBS, CNN, Fox, all these things. And you're going to watch that, and you're going to say, this is reputable. And we're looking at these networks, and we're seeing these goofy truckers that are trying to start fights with people about the mandates. And it's like, not okay. We're like, no, we don't want, I want nothing to do with that. It's this guy. Look at this kook. He's out there starting trouble. And then you look on YouTube and you see people who are like coming together and they're saying, I love you. And they're races. They're all the races, literally. And they're just saying, look, we just want the mandates to end. We don't want this anymore. We don't want to be pressured to getting this vaccine. If it doesn't work, it doesn't even seem like, scientifically speaking, it's working and it's causing injuries. And they're talking about what we're not looking at on our mainstream news. And we're seeing it differently. So the objectives change. But the point is that if you're at work and you're not into YouTube and you're not into any of that, and you're not into understanding outside of what it is that you are given and fed on a silver platter, which is the programs on television that you're able to watch, programming you to see things the way they want you to see it. And then you're kind of lost in the sauce and you're like, okay, well, there it is. This is what's happening. And sure, that's what's happening, but that's one side of what's happening. Sure, what we saw is a stupid weirdo spitting on cops and all that is, he's the guy that needs to be moved along, you know, get out of here, bozo. But the ones who are like, no, they're loving on each other, literally of every creed, race, color, background that you can imagine is what I watched, what I witnessed on YouTube and things like that. And so it's like now that overreach, the Emergencies Act, can shut down those channels. It can shut down what we look at, what we see, and what's real and from what's fake and what's... And now we can say that people are actors and those are paid and this and that. What is the truth anymore? We can't see the truth through the fog. We can't see the forest through the trees. It's just really a wild time that we're living in. So as I always end these wonderfully fun podcast shows over here at WTFlandia, I urge you to love each other. Love is the defining factor of all things that will turn out well, and not hate. Even if you're going through some of the worst situations in your life, you ain't got to be buddy-buddy with people. You ain't got to have the same beliefs. What you can do is say, I love you even though you think differently. I love you even though you have really hurt my feelings. And it can be from afar, and it can be, but it has to be your actions. You love people enough to protect them. You love people enough to stay away from them. You love people enough to, you know, support them from afar, support them up close. But the hate and the hiding and the making what's true fake and what's making what's fake true is so confusing. And let me tell you who's the author of confusion. He's an author, a great and diabolical author. It's Satan. It's the devil. He's the author of confusion. I'm going to get real spiritual on you. But God doesn't confuse us. God is not one to confuse us. God said, I am not a man that I should lie. My word is my word. You know? I don't have to lie. I'm not confusing. So, you know, if it feels right and it's good, it's coming from God. If it's chaos and it's confusing, it is not coming from God. I'll just keep it that way. Find God. Find your humanitarian heart. Find love. Find support. Find something. But in these times, it's crazy. Find Jesus. Seriously. I'm not going to ever not say that because that's just my truth. And that's what I believe. But you can believe what you want. You can end it here. And you can say, I don't want to hear that. I don't need to find that. I found what I need. Okay, well, then God bless you. I hope that I find what I need to. But I think I'm on the right track. And I just, you know, I hope that the world somehow works itself out where we can truly, truly know what's up from down, right from wrong. And God bless Canada. God bless America. God bless the Ukraine. And God bless you. Later. Not brought to you by Pfizer or any of its associates. Have you seen what's in that vaccine? Make sure you're reading the ingredients on anything you put into your body. You can thank me later.
By
assessing this podcast, I acknowledge that the entire contents and design of this podcast are the property of WTF Landia Radio or used by WTF Landia Radio with permission and are protected under U.S. and international copyright and trademark laws. Except as otherwise provided herein, users of this podcast may save and use information contained in the podcast only for personal or non-commercial educational purposes, no other use, including without limitation, reproduction, retransmission, or editing of this podcast may be made without the prior written permission of WTF Landia Radio, which may be requested by contacting WTF Landia Radio. By assessing this podcast, I acknowledge that the WTF Landia Radio makes no warranty, guarantee, or representation as to the accuracy or sufficiency of the information featured in this podcast. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on this information provided in the podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice unless stated otherwise. The WTF Landia Radio Group does not endorse, approve, recommend, or certify any information, product, process, service, or organization presented or mentioned in this podcast. And information from this podcast should not be referenced in any way to imply such approval or endorsement. The third-party materials or content of any third-party site referenced in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinion, standards, or policies of WTF Landia Radio. WTF Landia Radio assumes no responsibility or liability for the accuracy or completeness of the content contained in third-party materials or on third-party sites referenced in this podcast, or the compliance with the applicable laws of such materials and or links referenced herein. Moreover, WTF Landia Radio makes no warranty that this podcast or the server that makes it available is free of viruses, worms, or other elements or codes that manifest contaminating or destructive properties. WTF Landia Radio expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of reference to this, reliance on, or inability to use this podcast or the information presented in this podcast.